Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from part of the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, with special emphasis on these words. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto Him who is the head, into Christ. Please be seated. Every summer when I was growing up, my family, that's my two brothers and my parents and I, we would head up to the lake near Wolcottville, Indiana. And there my great uncle lived. Now, my grandfather passed away when I was 5 years old, so I just vaguely remembered him. But having his brother alive was really great because he looked like very much like my grandfather, talked like my grandfather, and I got a good flavor of what he was like. Well, when we would go up there, one of the purposes was to, he lived on a lake up there, and one of the purposes was to go fishing. So usually in the evening, we would talk about his childhood, and we would talk about farming days and everything like that. But come morning time after breakfast, it was time to go fishing. So we would get on his pontoon boat. He did not have a regular boat. We would get on to his pontoon boat, and out we would go to try to go fishing. And there we were out on Whitmer Lake, and before we would go fishing, one of the things he would do was he would put down the anchor. Well, I didn't know anything. I was pretty young, and where I came from, there were no lakes. So I asked my dad, why do we always have to throw the anchor down every time we want to go fishing? And he explained to me, we throw that anchor down because we do not want to be set adrift going all over the place. Because if we don't, we could go further and further from the land, or even worse yet, we could go into a bunch of lily pads and get all tangled up. So we put down this anchor and it keeps us right where we need to go. In other words, we're not tossed to and fro by every current, by every wave that comes along, but we know exactly where we are at. Well, being on several cruise ships, I've also seen that they have anchors too. They have huge anchors, big chains at the end of the anchor. But when that cruise ship gets into port, or the place where it wants to stop for a while, it drops the big anchor. Why? Because that big cruise ship does not want to be tossed around going to and fro. It wants to stay in one location so that it's not moving around. Well, the years have seen the coming and going of many things which were supposed to be true and were supposed to be trustworthy, but were not. When I was young, I was told not to swallow my gum. Why? Everyone knew that the sticky stuff took 7 years to pass through your digestive system. Everyone knew that was to be true, but they were wrong. When I was young, we were all told that it was dangerous to handle a toad. Handling a toad would give you warts. Or sitting too close to a TV would hurt your eyes. It does not. For years, I was told that you were supposed to starve a cold and feed the fever. Or was it the other way around? Well, forget that one. I could never remember which one was right. You get my point. With truth being so flexible, so hard to find, you really don't know what to believe. But there is a time that it is very, very important to know the truth. Once we were told that smoking would make us cool. It made us die. Once we were told that it didn't make any difference if a pregnant woman consumed alcohol. Now we know a big difference. Today, many adults have concluded that all religions are going the same. It doesn't make any difference what you believe, just so that you believe in someone or something. Perhaps you have heard people say it doesn't make any difference. I know I've heard people say that to me. And finally, some individuals are very upset when you tell them that Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." One way. He is the only way. Now, they think that there's lots of ways to get to heaven. In the years immediately following the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, many people felt the same way. They were surrounded by Greek gods, by Roman gods, by Canaanite gods, by Egyptian gods, and secret gods, and state gods. They wondered if truth could ever, ever be found. It was to these people that the Holy Spirit speaks God's word in the book of Ephesians. In the fourth chapter, God is letting everyone know that Jesus Christ has come into the world so that they could escape from being constantly tossed to and fro by the waves of doubt, by the waves of indecision, and man-made doctrines. Through the inspired word, God lets us know that we can be delivered from the switching and the swirling winds of false religion. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, spoke God's truth in love, so that all people would know that Jesus Christ is their Savior, that He alone is their Lord. He wants people to be sure and certain that there was, that there is, and there will always be a God-given truth and trust that they can really trust. He wants them to know the truth. God sent His Son to be the only way of salvation for sinners, the only giver of heavenly light and life, the only truth which can deliver the lost from the darkness and the damnation of the eternal fires of hell. Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem according to prophecy. Jesus Christ, who lived His life perfectly, fulfilling every command of God. Jesus Christ, who carried the sins we have committed, that paid the debt which condemns us. Jesus Christ, who suffered and died to buy us back from Satan, who enslaved us. Jesus Christ, who conquered death itself with His victorious third day rising from the dead. That is a truth that we can trust. Do you want to know the truth? The truth is this: God loved the world, and that means all of you, and that means everyone in the world, so much that He sent His Son into the world to do for us which we were unable to do because of our sins. Do you want to know the truth? The truth is this: on your own, you are doomed and you are damned. But with Jesus Christ, you are washed, you are cleansed, you are forgiven, you are saved. Do you want to know the truth? The truth is this: the Holy Spirit this morning is leading you to that place where you can leave all of your complacency, all of your smugness, and all the religions to think that all religions are alike. He wants you, to know the truth. Jesus Christ, the same Jesus who died to save you, now waits to embrace you, to take your hand and to take you away from the fires of hell. Do you want to know the truth? The truth is, there is nothing other that you can do at all. There is nothing at all. Just trusting Him above all things. When Jesus was on trial for His very life, He went on trial in front of Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate challenged the Savior with one question. What is truth? Pilate had been around the block. He had been tossed and thrown and turned by the conflicting claims of the various faiths. He had been blown around by false doctrines and by human failures. He decided that truth was something for little children to believe in, but not for him. Not for a reasonable man as him. As far as Pilate was concerned, there was no such thing as truth. To you who are tossed to and fro, I offer this evidence that Jesus really is the truth. The early Christians were so sure of Jesus that they willingly died some horrible deaths rather than to deny him as their Savior. That evidence made a big difference to unbelievers centuries ago. Having seen countless deaths of gladiator games, having seen numerous prisoners executed, the Romans knew that the people did not die, go into death, singing hymns. They did not go into their death praying for their murderers. They knew that these Christians that they were putting to death were different. They were different in that special way. That special way that they lived and that special way in which they died. What can I say to prove that Jesus Christ is your only true Savior? Look to the Bible. And there you will find God's prophecies, some made thousands of years before Jesus was born. It was prophesied thousands of years before Jesus was born that he would be born in the town of Bethlehem. It was prophesied before Jesus was born that he would be born of a virgin. It was prophesied that Jesus would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. It was prophesied in the Old Testament that Jesus would rise again on the third day. All of these prophecies were made thousands of years before Jesus was born, and they were fulfilled, every one of them, in Jesus Christ. You have to look pretty hard to find another religious book that does that. In fact, you can look at all the other religions, and there is no other religion that makes prophecies and then 1,000 years later they come true. No one can do that. No other founder of another faith can point to an ancient prophecy about him and say, as Jesus said, today these words are being fulfilled in front of you. The resurrection of Jesus proves that he truly was God. Maybe you need to be convinced that God's Son is alive. He was dead. He was crucified. He was dead because they stabbed him through the heart. He was buried. But today he is alive. He is physically alive. That is not an opinion. That is the truth. You can believe it is the truth because it is. You see, your eternity depends upon whether you believe Jesus is your Savior and your Redeemer or whether you don't. On whether you know that Jesus' truth is God's truth, and that is the truth for your salvation. This is the truth that Jesus speaks of plainly in John chapter 5 when he says these words. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who has sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth. A time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. In the ancient Christian church, there were many symbols. Symbols that were easy ways of showing people what they believed. And one of the symbols was the symbol of an anchor. The anchor symbolized that they had safety in Jesus Christ, that they put all of their hope and all of their trust in that anchor, Jesus Christ. You see, it is a faith that gives us truth amid the world that is tossing and turning, the turbulence, the waves that go to and fro, knowing that Jesus Christ is that secure anchor and He will not change. The words of Scripture will not change. They are here and they will remain. A risen Lord, a living Lord, is more than just an opinion. It is God's truth. It is God's truth that is alone and that can save you and all individuals from the fires of hell. We can believe it. We can trust it. Why? Because it is God's word indeed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.